All right, here we go. The word is half. The part one of today's Lakers half. Back-to-back phrase that pays is half. Now make sure to listen for part two at 2:15. Then at 2:30, you get a cue to call. Caller number 7 with the correct complete phrase wins a $100 Lakers store gift card, an autographed Lakers basketball, and qualifies to win $1,000 cash. All right. So this weekend, monster weekend, because we got the AFC, the NFC championship game. I think both are really good matchups. AFC, Buffalo, KC tomorrow in Kansas City, and then Sunday, Tampa at Green Bay. Both games are 3-point spreads, so very, very close on the spreads. And we like to bet mythical money around here, and I will tell you the updated standings. Lindsay is leading the way with $102,000 mythical dollars. I am next. I bet on the Lakers last night. I am at $94,000 mythical dollars. In Ireland, you trail with $91,000 mythical dollars.
Yeah, this is the week I zoom past you guys.
Excellent. Excellent. So where do we want to start here? Why don't you go,
You better start with John if you want. You better start with John if you want to get the show done.
No. My I don't have any
parlays.
I don't have a long and complicated one this week, but I definitely will start. So as you guys know, I have 1K riding on an extreme long shot.
Yes.
If by chance the two road teams win, if Buffalo wins and Tampa Bay wins, I get $28,000 on a $1,000 bet. Because at the beginning of the playoffs, that's the Hail Mary I threw, that those would be the two teams in the Super Bowl. So after thinking about this, Mace, I'm going the other way with my bets today. That way, I'm hedging.
You're covered either way.
Yeah. So here's my three bets. Okay.
Okay.
1K parlay on the Packers and the Chiefs. Packers -3, Chiefs -3. It pays $2,600 if I win it, but okay, they both have to win.
Oh, all so right. It's a parlay between the two games,
yeah.
KC and Green Bay.
But they both have to win and they both have to cover.
Got it.
All right. And I get $2,600 if it happens. Then I got 1K on the Packers -3. And 1K on the Chiefs -3. Now, I could get middled here. For example, if Buffalo wins and Green Bay wins, I'm hosed because I don't have that eventuality covered. But I'm just going to ride that. I've got my other long shot bet out there. I'm just going to bet on the favorites. So those are my three bets. Grand on the Chiefs, grand on the Packers, grand on a parlay that they both win, Chiefs and Packers, and that's it.
Thank God you're not being complicated this week. Last
exactly.
week you had four three-team parlays.
Yeah,
it was crazy. All right, so Linz, what are you going to do? Linz?
Did we lose her?
Did we lose her?
My phone, I keep cutting out. I keep robot noises.
Okay. What are your bets?
Right. I'm going to go with the Bills and the Buccaneers.
Ooh. You're taking points in both games. What are you betting? How much?
Yep. I'm going to bet 2,000 on each game.
2,000? Okay. That's big for you.
So
okay,
she's going the opposite of me.
Bills and Bucks.
House
All
money,
right,
yeah.
last is me. I am rooting like hell for Buffalo in this game. In fact, so much so that, Jorge, do you have the Buffalo theme song, the Bills Mafia theme song? So give me Josh Allen +3. Over Kansas City. Go Buffalo. That's the team that when they beat Lamar Jackson, they gave all that money to his charity. Give me $2,000 on Buffalo +3 over KC. And okay. By the way, it was announced today that Patrick Mahomes, no surprise, will play in that game. The other game, I am all over Green Bay. Give me $2,000 mythical dollars on Green Bay -3 over Tampa. And then the last one, I've got a $1,000 bet on, and the odds are 26-1.
Oh, good.
On Alan Lazard having the most receiving yards of anybody this weekend. So 26
anybody
to 1.
Anybody in either game.
Anybody in either game, most receiving yards.
I like that.
26-1. So he's down the list. I think Devontae Adams and Stephon Diggs.
Tyreek Hill. Yeah,
and Tyreek Hill are the favorites. But I'm going to go Alan Lazard. Because he broke the Rams with that last bomb last week. So I'm going to put some money on him. And I think, by the way, I think we've got great super. great Super Bowl matchups, no matter who wins these games. I mean, you've got great storylines. Bills, long-suffering Bills. Bills Mafia in the Super Bowl is incredible. Tampa, Tom Brady, can he do it again? Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, is this his last best chance? Kansas City, can Patrick Mahomes work magic again? Most exciting quarterback in the game. I mean, I think that we are going to get a great Super Bowl matchup no matter what.
All right, we're getting a lot of blowback.
On what?
I'll just read this. This from James Vera. Every time you need to problem solve a situation that involves money, time, distance, perimeter of a fence, volume of something, comparing prices when you shop, rent something, cost versus time, other situations, you are using algebra. James, disagree. I'm happy to take a class where they say Sally has 7 apples. Bobby has 9 apples. If Sally gives Bobby 3 of her apples, how many will each one have? That will get me through any problem I need. What I don't need is 2x minus 5x times 9x divided by 117x. It has no practical application. I'm out.
I love what Jorge said. He said that when the numbers start mixing with the letters, he's out.
Yep, I'm
all right. This one from this is appropriate on a day like today, from Mr. Kobe Bean.
Mr. Kobe Bean.
I used to teach geometry. Yes, it's never applied in real life, but studies show it helps children / teens develop stronger problem-solving skills. You know what teaches children and teens to develop stronger problem-solving skills, Mr. Kobe Bean? Forget to pick them up from school one day and tell them to figure out how to get home.
Plus, when was the last time you needed to know the circumference of a fence?
Or the angle closest to your house.
Angle closest to your... I don't need these things. These things are useless to me.
Yeah. No one is going to convince me we need algebra. It's just not a necessary skill to have in life.
Boy, I'm sure there are algebra teachers and parents out there who are trying to get their kids to get good grades,
right,
and algebra is one of the classes, and we are telling them, don't even worry about it.
If you're one of those people on that list, bring it on. That's all I'm saying. I've lived a lot of life, and I have never used all those Mace hours.
Wait, I got a question. Have you ever used this thing called a computer?
Yeah, really?
Do you know how those things are like made and how programs are run and the smart people that you know, build the codes for those programs?
Lindsay, it's zeros and ones. Zeros and ones.
Lindsay, if those people...
It's not true.
My son took a coding class. I told him, hey, if you want to be a coder one day, you go for it. If those people want to take algebra, more power to them. What I'm saying is, don't make everybody else take it.
I feel like that's going to be something that's a really important job for a lot of people.
Then they can all take algebra. My question is, why are the rest of us being forced to take it?
By the way, we have a line open for an algebra teacher. Hang on. We've got a line open for an algebra teacher.
To take it at this point in your life. I think that it was like 50, 60 years ago, right?
I'm sticking up for the kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Algebra teacher, 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Algebra teacher line is open.
And by the way, the scoop is coming up next. There will be no math.
Exactly. No math. Jorge, what are we going to here? 12. Okay, thank you. We got the second part of the Lakers back-to-back phrase that pays coming up for you, too. By the way, Shaquille O'Neal did that interview with Donovan Mitchell last night.
Right.
And LeBron basically said, we played it the last part of the show. He said, you're one of my favorite players, but you're not going to be able to take it to the next level. LeBron has responded to that interview Shaq did with Donovan Mitchell last night.
What did LeBron say?
He said, quote, there's a difference between constructive criticism and soft hating. So he feels like LeBron or that Shaq was soft hating Donovan Mitchell in that interview.
Did you feel that way?
I thought it was weird. I can't imagine that being the first thing I say to somebody. Hey, I love you, but you're not going to get to the next level. Who does that?
Somebody that wants to motivate you.
Yeah, but his job is to interview Donovan Mitchell. It's not to give him advice and tell him he's not good enough.
Maybe. I'm sure it was awkward for a lot of viewers, but I don't think would you have more respect for Shaq if he asked Donovan Mitchell normal questions. Something like, hey, Donovan, Shaq here. You've really picked up your game this year. Where'd you get that drop step?
How are you going to get to the next level is the way to do it. Not have we ever done an interview where the first thing we said was you're not good enough? Imagine Dan Wiecki was on the show a little while ago. Hey, Dan, love your column, but I don't think you're ever going to get to the next level.
I would say that if you are going to say that, it's more genuine to say it to Dan than wait for him to hang up and say it after he's gone, which is would have been Shaq's alternative. If Shaq really feels like Donovan Mitchell can't get to the next level and he wants to say it to motivate him, he can't. Hey, Benjamin on line two says he was raised by teachers.
Oh, nice.
Hey, Benjamin, you're on 710 ESPN. Benjamin, should we all be forced to take algebra?
I think you should be taught it, and if you're not good at it, then you obviously wouldn't keep going with math. But I was telling the gentleman earlier that answered the phone, I am terrible at music, but I appreciate the fact that I got to take music classes. I'm terrible at art. I do like that I took art classes. So I would say it's just...
That's actually an interesting point. Yeah, I was terrible at shop, but I still made that stupid little box.
How do you know that you're terrible at it if you never take the class?
Yeah, I guess that's right. I mean, we take a lot of things.
I'll tell
about
the answer. As soon as I got to UCLA, no math.
Me too.
I wasn't required. I didn't take one math class, Daniel. Benjamin, as soon as I could opt out, I did. My problem with algebra is I don't think they should force high school kids. If they want to teach them basic math, yeah. But I'm with Jorge. Nothing with letters. Nothing with fractions. Just teach them normal math and let them go.
There you go. All right, Benjamin, thank you very much for the call. I don't think you defended algebra well. Coming up next for you, the Lakers back-to-back. The Lakers back-to-back phrase that pays is coming up for you. Then we got the scoop, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, here is part two of the back-to-back Lakers phrase that pays. It is the word court. The word is court. Now, be listening at 2:30 for the cue to call. Caller number 7 with the correct phrase wins a $100 Lakers store gift card and an autographed Lakers basketball, and you qualify to win $1,000 cash. Again, that's coming up for you at 2:30. All right, Jorge, you're going to have to follow along. I forgot to tell you about this. Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell was introduced as the new coach of the Detroit Lions yesterday. Now, I want you to play, listen, John, to this quote from his introductory press conference. Don't have that. Okay, you remember the press conference, John.
I do.
He talked about biting kneecaps. He talked about getting hit 3 times, getting up, and eating you, for all intents and purposes. It was like an Army Hammer speech. Did Campbell go too far?
Yeah, here's the thing. If you get up at the podium and try and win the press conference by doing all that rah-rah stuff, we're going to be tougher than everyone else. Really? Like the other 31 teams aren't going to be tough. The other 31 teams are going to sit there and let you bite them in the kneecap.
Okay, we actually found the clip. Go ahead and play the clip.
This place has been kicked. It's been battered. It's been bruised. And I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long. I can give you, hey, we're going to win this many games. I can't. But none of that matters, and you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that. So excuse my language. All right? Here's what I do know is that this team is going to take on the identity of this city. All right. And the city's been down, and it found a way to get up. All right. It's found a way to overcome adversity. All right. And so this team's going to be built on we're going to kick you in the teeth. All right. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right. And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take 2 more shots to knock us down. All right. And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap. And we're going to get up, and then it's going to take 3 shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right, that's going to be the mentality.
I actually love it. I love great characters in sports.
Who
normally,
is he, the knight guarding the bridge on Monty Python? I'll bite your head off.
Yeah, exactly.
Please, Detroit is a joke.
Wait a minute. Give the guy. The guy just got there.
Would they hire Kenny Powers?
I love this attitude. I love this whole speech. He's a character. We need more characters in the game. I'm completely for it. I will root for the Lions as much as I can because of Dan Campbell. I think that guy's a great character, and I can't wait to hear his press conferences after when the season gets started.
Here's the thing. The Lions are a joke. I'm not kidding. They gave him a six-year deal. No one else was trying to hire kneecap biter guy, all right? You could have given him a two-year deal. You didn't make the problem better. You made it worse.
Wait a minute. You're prejudging the guy.
Why would you give Dan Campbell a six-year contract?
They must feel highly confident. And by the way, John, every contract can be eaten. Every contract can be eaten.
Right.
If it doesn't work after 3 years, if it doesn't work into year four, eat it. But they feel confident in the guy. And I like that spirit. I like that fight. I like that post-game press conference, biting kneecaps and stuff.
Yeah, Detroit hasn't been to the playoffs in 20 years.
And he's going to change that.
And the two greatest players in the history of the franchise, Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders, thought the franchise was so screwed up that they both retired rather than play another game for the Lions. He's perfect for that clown show. Give me
a Macy,
break.
If you like that guy, do you also drive in Iraq and drink Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Oh, so now you're making fun of working class people.
And no, are you going to write on your outside your office a sign that says "The Dude"? Like they did for Dan Campbell.
Wait a minute. Go back to Lindsay. That sounds like a dig at just regular working class people, like live in Detroit and like live in Toledo, where I grew up.
I don't know many people who in 2021 still drive an Iraq and drink Pabst Blue Ribbon, which is like a beer from the 70s. My point was that he's stuck back in time. Like he just sounds like he sounds like a guy who has a mullet and wears
The 80s all over again. I wore a mullet. Right. No, embarrassment in that.
They have hired Kenny Powers, and now they get to live with it. Good luck
100%.
To them.
All right, it's to you.
Okay. Mace, we all love dogs on this show.
Yes.
And one dog owner in England spent $400 on veterinary fees and x-rays trying to figure out the cause of his dog's limp. Only to discover that the dog was just imitating him. Russell Jones, who himself is on crutches with his leg in a plaster cast, became concerned when his dog began hobbling around the house. But when the vet found absolutely nothing wrong with the animal, they realized he was simply copying his owner out of sympathy. When you hear this story, do you think the dog owner is a good guy for trying to take care of his dog, or is he a dope who should have known not to drop $400 on something like this?
Look, here's the thing. I would do anything for my dogs. Anything. They are treated better than I am in the world, than Juan is in the world. When I come back, I would like to be my dog. Somebody like me. My dogs, it's funny, I did an Instagram post the other day in front of the green screen that I have in the house, and there were dog toys everywhere, and people noticed. There are literally hundreds of dog toys all over the house. They get everything they want at all times, and I don't care what the procedure costs. If it means keeping them healthy, keeping them happy, keeping them alive, I will do it. So I do understand spending $400 on the limp.
I'm the exact same way. I set this story up as differently, but if my dog's limping, I'm going to the vet and I'm dropping whatever it costs to fix it. I would be a complete sucker and I would not have realized that my dog was imitating me. I would have totally gone down the rabbit hole and dropped at least $400. So who am I to make fun of this? I'll make fun
exactly.
of Dan Campbell, but not this guy.
All right. Last thing here in the scoop, John, you're not on TikTok.
No.
I don't spend a lot of time on TikTok, but you understand it is a gigantic phenomenon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This particular TikTok video has gotten millions of followers. It's become the most viral TikTok video in a really long time. I want to play it for you. Jorge, go ahead and hit that. Nathan Evans is the clip we're going to play.
Hopefully it's better than the parrot.
Everything I asked for. Jorge is killing me today.
Well, that's because we asked him.
I'm taking phone calls.
Yeah, we asked him to answer the phones. What do you want from the guy?
Doing a
Mace, you did send us like 30 clips an hour before the show.
Oh, I apologize
today
for doing too much work. I apologize for being overprepared for this show. All right, I'll do that thing later. Screw it. Coming up next, the algebra teacher line is open. Okay, you got. Okay, here it is. Here's the TikTok video with millions of
followers. To see the name of the ship was a belly of tea. The winds blew up her bow, dip down or below my belly boys blow. Soon may the Willowman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tuggin' is done,
that is the TikTok video that is sweeping TikTok. Do you understand the sensation of it?
Well, I'm Irish. That sounds like an old Irish folk song. I will say they are in perfect harmony.
They are.
It is kind of an earworm. I would imagine
it's called a sea shanty.
Yeah, I would imagine if you play this a couple of times on TikTok, you walk around the rest of the day singing it to yourself. But I don't understand TikTok.
Oh, come on.
Okay, so what's the difference? Like, I don't understand why you need all these different sites. Like, why, if you have a video like that, why not tweet it or put it on Instagram? Why do you need TikTok?
Every one of these social media platforms has a different personality. And that's what you got to wrap your head around. So Facebook, where old ladies share recipes and angry people talk politics.
Okay.
Instagram, everybody living their best life. Look at this picture of me.
Right.
Twitter, nasty, cesspool, ridiculously mean and over the top.
So what's TikTok?
And TikTok, fun videos of people dancing. It skews much younger, John. You are... If you were 15,
wait a minute,
you would be TikTok age.
It skews younger than Instagram?
Yes.
Every young girl I know is on Instagram.
TikTok skews younger. Would you agree with that, Lindsay? TikTok skews younger. It's like kids.
But can't Lindsay, can't
it's
you put...
It's more for kids.
Can't you put videos on Instagram?
Yeah, but it's totally different. You can edit them and you can add things to them. You can't do any of that. Like, in Instagram, it's like one-stop shop. You can upload a filter. You're done. With TikTok... You can add music, you can add effects, you can edit things together.
But I could
it's
do all
totally
that.
Different.
I could do all that with an editor. I can do all that.
No,
with...
but why would you do an editor when you could just do it in the app on your phone and then post it right away?
Yeah, it's built into the app. You can do all that stuff in the app. That's why people like it, because you are able to manipulate the video in a different way than Instagram.
Weren't they going to be sold and our government for some reason blocked it?
I think Facebook was going to buy them, and I think the government said, no, you have enough social media platforms.
I thought it was somebody in China was going to buy it. And
no, it is a Chinese company.
That's right. It's owned by a Chinese company.
Okay, so that's why I thought they shut down the sale for whatever reason.
No, they were going to because it was owned by China. Yeah, I don't think they were going to sell it.
Okay. All right, there you have it. That's the TikTok video that is sweeping the world. All right, coming up next for you, we have attacked algebra today. We have asserted that algebra is meaningless, and if you're a kid, you really don't need it. And the algebra teachers have risen up. They've risen up, John, and they're on the phones. 877-710-ESPN, Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, here we go. Let's caller number 7 is John Hogan from Long Beach. John, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Doing great.
So you know the Lakers back-to-back phrase that pays. What is it?
Backcourt.
Say it one more time.
Backcourt.
No.
No. That's not
the Lakers.
That's the
first guy we've had miss.
Wow.
Wow. I don't think that's ever happened before.
No, no.
So what Jorge, do we do? So what
we
do we
need
do?
The next, we need the next caller number. Say we need caller number 8.
What do we do?
Yeah, no one's ever called and not had the answer.
Yeah. Jorge, I know we're asking you to do a lot today, but we need caller number 8 to take a crack at it.
We may have to give Jorge some time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, all right, while he's...
Okay, let's go to Lynn. Hey, Lynn, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey.
Where are you calling from, Lynn?
Carpinteria, California.
Carpinteria, I love Carpinteria. All right, Lynn, what's the phrase that pays?
Half court.
There you go.
Half court, there you go, you got it. You win a $100 Lakers store gift card, an autographed Lakers basketball, and you qualify to win the $1,000 cash, which we are giving away next hour. Lynn Carpinteria, you have John Hogan from Long Beach to thank for this. Congratulations, Lynn.
Thank you so much.
Be listening excited. Next hour. We're going to give away that grant. Thank you very much. All right, don't – yes. This is, by the way, our final week for $1,000 cash, and we will give away that $1,000 cash next hour in our 3 o'clock hour, so stay tuned for that, especially you guys that already won. All right, so we challenged the whole idea of algebra today, and what's the use of it? And when numbers and letters mix, why do we even care, and why do we make kids go through this terrible, horrific ordeal?
There is no practical use for it. I don't care what you say. All right.
Wait, why are we still talking about this?
Because people have called in.
Because people have called in about it. The other thing is,
I think the people are probably calling in because they wanted to win the phrase.
No, they aren't. In fact, let's go to Eric. Eric is an engineer. You're on 710 ESPN. Hey.
Yeah, don't take this the wrong way, but with all due respect, you guys are idiots.
Excellent.
Algebra, geometry, and trigonometry are the basis for everything around you in this world. If you own a home, if you have money in the stock market, or you have a 401k, the basis for all of that is algebra and geometry.
Hey, Eric, let me ask you a question, though. All right. Let's say I accept your premise and I agree that you're right. Shouldn't it be a choice as to whether or not I want to learn it? Why am I being required to take it?
Because it formulates the basis for a well-rounded education. If we're going to shoot our children in the foot right now, you're going to shoot your grandchildren in the head. So if you don't want to take algebra, maybe I don't want to take poetry and some of the literature
exactly.
courses that I had to take. But that gave me a well-rounded education. So I could speak to you guys on the radio.
And call us idiots. Oh, come on.
Eric, thank you for the call.
Thanks for the call, man.
All right, some of these people may actually agree with us.
We can't take calls for a whole segment about whether or not people need
Lindsay,
algebra.
Lindsay, we're doing a show here.
Hey.
Yeah, I know we are, and I just think that we should move on because I feel like...
To what?
We're going to have conversations like that one.
To what? What do you want to move on to?
Well, guys... There's plenty of things that we can talk about.
Okay, why don't you steer us, Lindsay, since you're not big on what we're doing. Go ahead.
I just don't think we should be spending an entire segment talking about whether or not we need algebra.
Who said we're going to spend an entire segment?
Oh, well, heck no. Hold on. I did not take phone calls for nothing.
Yeah.
Well, Jorge, if you read the text messages, you would not have taken the phone calls.
All right. So, listen, Corey Taft, Mace.
Yes.
You guys are spot on about math. It's not practical, and it stresses students are out so much that it can damage their entire relationship with school. I think communication and information analysis are more important to learn. So that's actually a fair point.
What's a fair point?
Think about what you could be taking if you're not taking algebra. Here's Chris. I'd rather take algebra than geometry. Once you add shapes, I'm effing gone.
So, all right, coming up next, Lindsay will talk about some random stuff and Radio Tinder. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, the completely out of control Lindsay has got Radio Tinder now. What do you got?
Look out, guys. I am out of control.
You're out of control.
Excellent.
Mace, I think that Chicago Cubs third baseman Chris Bryant is the one who's out of control because he appeared on the Red Line Radio podcast this week and he admitted that he's just not having as much fun playing baseball as he used to. Here's what he said.
Listen, there's a lot of noise right now, obviously, surrounding the Cubs, surrounding you. Like, are you still having fun out there, man?
At times, no. At times, it really got to me. The stuff I was hearing in, like, 2018, like, the first trade rumors that started to pop up, like, that really got to me. And then, like, I found myself like, man, is this even fun anymore? Like, why did I start playing this game? You know, because it was fun. You know, obviously, there's a lot of other stuff involved. Like, you make a ton of money and there's fame and all this. But it's like, you got to get yourself back to why I started playing. And, like, I just remember my first home run, running around the bases. My dad picks me up after around third. I don't even touch home plate. But, like, that's the kind of joy that you got to find. And, like, I found myself sitting there, like, I don't have that joy right now. So it's like, I'm trying all I can to kind of get back to that place. And, like, I look back on this year, like, it was really rough for me personally.
So trade rumors are just part of the business. Is Chris Bryant being a baby? Swipe left or swipe right?
Okay, I'm going to swipe right. But here's the thing. I just looked it up. Chris Bryant makes $18 million a year.
Right.
I appreciate him being honest that at times he's not having fun and that if you play with joy, you can be better. But that came off as really whiny. If you're being paid $18 million, does it matter really whether or not you're having fun? You're being paid to do a job. You should do it.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that it must be no fun to be speculated about, to think, hey, I live in Chicago. I mean, we never really think about this. Guys get traded. Hey, you go here, you go there. He lives in Chicago. He won the Most Valuable Player award there. At one point, he was arguably the best third baseman in the game. The shine is off now, and he is being speculated about constantly. I'm sure that's no fun. I appreciate him being honest, but you're right, John. You've got to grow up and deal with that. He's going through this for the first time. Like, I felt this about Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma and Josh Hart and all those guys who were sort of dangling in the wind for a while. They played, but they weren't. I'm sure it made them very uncomfortable. They just didn't come out and say it.
Did you see this text from Amanda?
Yes.
Amanda, our boss, says, I hate math. All you need to know is how to spend money. She's right.
Here's George Sedano. Screw algebra. I'm on the bandwagon. It's a movement, I tell you. Lindsay, what's next?
I think Chris Bryant probably doesn't like math either. He's a whiner.
Yeah, I think he comes off as whiny.
Yeah, he whining about baseball, probably whines about math, but he's probably not whining when he gets paid. And he has to use algebra to figure out all the numbers in his bank account. Next one is Tiger Woods. His surprise announcement that he recently underwent yet another back surgery, which was his fifth since 2014, caught a lot of people off guard. The surgery was the fourth microdiscectomy procedure of his career. So there's been a lot of concern that this could be a nightmare situation all over again for Tiger. And people hope that he's going to be fully recovered and ready to play in this year's Masters. But do you guys think Tiger is going to play in the Masters in April? Swipe left or swipe right?
No, I think, didn't he announce he's out? What? You're right.
He says he's going to try.
Probably not. I think that's too close for a back surgery. I play a lot of golf. If your back's messed up, you can't play. I think he's out.
You know what, John? I watched that Tiger documentary. He won the 2008 U.S. Open
on one knee.
Missing a knee. So I would not count Tiger out. He loves the Masters.
So he's not the defending champ. Dustin Johnson's the defending champ because they had a tournament in the fall, right?
Yeah.
He'd almost have to go if he was the defending champ. But maybe one of those other years he was out, he didn't go when he was the defending champ. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to play. You think he is?
I think he is. I would not bet against Tiger. By the way, if you've not seen the Tiger Woods documentary, which is on HBO Max, it is fantastic. It's a three-hour documentary split into two sections. So you can watch one night, you can watch the first half. The next night, you can watch the second half. It's an incredible story. And I came away with a new appreciation for Tiger Woods. And I have never been a guy who's rooted for Tiger Woods. After seeing that documentary, and you find this surprising, John, I actually will root for Tiger Woods from this point forward.
That's interesting. I my buddy Patrick and I were talking about this today, and he said that what he didn't like about that documentary was he thought it was too hard on Tiger. He thought it was too sordid and creepy, and that and in some ways unfair to him. You had the opposite reaction. You
I think it made him kind of the same thing. I think it made him a sympathetic figure. So I think they dug into his life. That must be deeply personal stuff for Tiger Woods. And Tiger did not participate in this documentary, did he?
No.
No. So this was an unauthorized documentary. I'm sure it's picking all kinds of old scabs and old wounds. And I find Tiger to be a sympathetic figure now. I'll root for him.
You know, that's funny you mentioned that. John, I was going to ask you because I feel like since you have such a good handle on, I feel like, the personalities in this documentary and, like, their relation to Tiger, do you think, like, they had to pay those people, right? Like, maybe with the exception of his caddy, Stevie Williams, don't you think that they would have to pay, like, his family friend, like, his dad's buddy, I forget what his name was, but don't you think they'd have to pay them to say that kind of stuff about him?
Yeah, I think that's the only way they were able to get all those guys.
You
and
think,
those,
they,
and
you
those
think they were paid?
I do.
I feel like they had to be, because why else would they say that stuff? I mean, he stares right into the camera, and he's like, sorry, champ. I'm so sorry. You're really going to hate this.
Right.
But like,
I don't
think bad.
Is it ethical to pay people to appear in a documentary?
I think
aren't you then
movies.
Forcing people to tell a story?
No.
Well,
not unless you're telling them like actors to read a script. No, you're paying them for their participation. The documentary is going to make money, so they should be able to make money off of it, right?
Yeah, see, I don't think so. I don't think a documentary does pay people. I don't believe Alex Gibney, the guy who did Smartest Guys in the Room, would actually and has done countless documentaries. I don't think he'd pay subjects. I'm sure a lot of people
I know
people
Rachel,
said no.
You could tell, did not get paid.
She was the biggest get of all.
Yeah.
I don't really say anything that we didn't know, though, right? I think that the first girlfriend seemed like she was, to me, that was the thing that made me think that this is all a very maniacal plan, you know,
but,
by his parents.
But Rachel, you could tell, did describe that half-hour phone call where she tried to convince Elon Woods that there was nothing going on between her and Tiger.
So
I thought
weird.
That was one of the big takeaways of the documentary. That's creepy.
I was going to ask you guys yesterday, do you believe everything she says?
Well, she didn't make herself look good, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I believe everybody there was telling the truth. I mean, I felt like it was very honest.
I guess my question is just, if being so honest, especially his family friends, why what are you getting out of it? What are you getting at this point, you know? Why are you telling all of this?
It's a good question. I don't know. I asked that question, like, during the documentary. Like, he's not going to like it. Why would those people participate?
Well, because he cut them all off. The thing that all those people had in common was he cut them off. He fired Stevie Williams. They were all ex-best friends. It was ex-girlfriends. It was ex-lover in the case of Rachel Yucatan.
But okay, so
I think
somebody,
some of them had an axe to grind.
Yeah, but think of somebody you don't talk to anymore that maybe you used to talk to. If they came to you and said, we're doing a documentary about that person, would you participate in it? I probably wouldn't.
Do I like them?
No.
I probably would.
You would. Wow.
I'd probably tell the story. Sure.
Okay.
we tell the story about when the stupid station fired you. We tell that story.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
I mean, I just think honesty is a good thing. It shed light. I think Tiger Woods came off as a sympathetic figure in that thing, and I'm going to root for him from now on. Lynn's.
All right, the Miami Heat have a genius idea that every single public place should probably think about incorporating in their battle against the pandemic. COVID sniffing dogs that detect the virus on people. According to the Sun Sentinel, the Heat plan to allow fewer than 2,000 fans into games for the first time in this NBA season, with the contest against the Clippers on January 28th being the first to have actual people there. But what they're going to do is to have the COVID-sniffing dogs try and sniff the COVID out.
Okay, we're having a little, just to be clear, we're having a little bit of technical stuff, but I think I understand the question. COVID-sniffing dogs. John, are you in?
I am for anything. So let's say the Heat does this, and it helps them get fans into the building, and they're able to execute that plan successfully. I'm for anything, Mace, literally anything. Anything that gets fans back into these NBA buildings. It is the one thing that is sorely missing. You know, the games are still great. The Lakers have the best team. They're playing awesome that, you know, Michael and I get to do the games, and that's fun. I cannot tell you how much I miss the fans. And I know if you look at the Lakers record, they are now 8-0 on the road and 4-4 at home.
Oof.
They miss the fans.
Yeah.
So if these, I don't know if it's going to work or not, but if these COVID sniffing dogs can lead to 2,000 fans successfully going into the Miami arena and it works, and that leads to a pilot program that allows more fans to go into other NBA, I'm all for it.
The crazy thing about dogs is there are dogs that can smell cancer.
Right.
I don't know how you teach a dog to smell certain, like, how do you teach a dog to smell COVID?
I don't know, but I mean, like, for example, my dog wakes me up at the exact same time every single day.
Yeah, no, it's true.
And she's not wearing a watch. So, I mean, I just think dogs are smarter than we give them credit for.
You know, a lot of people think we make stuff up on the show, that that our personal relationships are totally made up and fictional. I was genuinely pissed at Lindsay in the last segment. I'm not sure if you noticed that. Did you notice it, John?
Yeah, I was too.
Just a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I was pissed. So that stuff happens. I mean, Lindsay's the producer, and like we aired out all of our grievances the other day.
Isn't that part
and our compliments?
Isn't that part of Festivus, airing of the grievances?
Airing of the grievances. Yes.
Okay, so you want to end it? You want to end the segment on a happier note?
Yes.
We found Hank Aaron, who passed away today, on with David Letterman. Apparently,
oh, wow.
He was a go-to guest for Letterman, and he used to come on and tell all these great stories, and Jorge found one of them. Hit it, Jorge.
Did you get a phone call from the White House after that, or?
Believe it or not, I did.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, the first thing about that day, that night, after I hit the home run, I went back to left field, and I was standing in my position to catch a fly ball. And Donald Davis and our traveling secretary was running down left field line. He was telling me the president was on telephone. And I said, well, fine, Donald. I said, but what do you want me to do, stop the ball game? I said, just put the president on hold and I'll be right with him. And sure enough, right after the inning, I went running up the steps and of course, the president was on telephone and he was inviting myself and my wife to be his guest at the White House.
Uh-huh. This would be President
Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You said it. But anyhow, I answered the telephone. He said, Henry, I said, I would like for you to be my guest at the White House. I said, well, fine, Mr. President. I said, thank you very much. I said, when do you want me to be your guest? He said, as soon as possible. Hell, I didn't get there quick enough.
Yeah.
Oh, because Nixon got impeached.
Oh!
I wonder if Ford honored Nixon's invite.
Oh, that's right. Gerald Ford took over. I wonder if he did.
Because that was in 1974.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
The year he was impeached. Wow, that's crazy. That's
well,
crazy.
Technically, he resigned, right? He was impeached, but he wasn't thrown out of office. He resigned before they got him.
Actually, was he impeached? I don't think he was even impeached. I think they marched up there to the White House and said, hey, you got to resign, and he resigned because he was going to be impeached.
Right. I think it's the old... jump before you get pushed.
Exactly. All right, coming up next for you, there is a big UFC fight this weekend, Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier, and Daniel Cormier, who is one of the greatest UFC heavyweights of all time, is doing analysis for that fight for ESPN. John, you say you're not going to buy the fight.
I don't know. I've got a game, so I don't know. We'll ask Cormier about it. I don't know if I will or not.
Okay, Daniel Cormier is coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.